I'd like to kind of set a goal for us tonight. And I know we all have a goal, or hopefully we all have a goal to go to heaven. Yes. I'm thinking about a Christian in this life. And want us to be the best that we can be. Yes. Scripture in Philippians 6 and 10, I believe, says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Yes. So I want to set a goal tonight for our minds that God wants us all to know him. There is a lot of religion in the world. And lately I've been running into a lot of it, some of it on purpose and some accident. But I've been noticing it, and a lot of them have it, if I may be bold enough to say, they've got it completely wrong. Yeah. Our goal isn't here tonight to have you all look up to me,
yes,
or to make me important, or to make me the somehow overly responsible for your life. I don't want the responsibility for one thing, but for the other thing, I can't do nothing for you. I didn't die for you, and I have no grace for you.
Yes.
The only job that true ministers have is to point you to Christ.
Yes.
The goal that what I want you to set in your heart and mind tonight is that you know Christ for yourself. And that you have the strength of Christ in your own life. That it's not some religious organization only. There's a lot of that out there. But that's not the goal. The goal is that you have it for yourself in your own life. That you know it for yourself in your own life. That you're strong in the Lord. That you can pray for yourself. I don't want a congregation of people that ooh and all over me or look over me, and it's never happened, and thank the Lord it hasn't. But I don't want that. I want each one of them to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. I want them to know how to pray and how to testify and how to witness for the Lord. I want them to be adult and grown up. I want to be a beneficiary of their gift. I want to humble myself to your gift. I want to hear what God done for you. It isn't enough. That's the world's way of thinking about it. It isn't God's way of thinking about it. The goal that we want to set before your mind is that you have a life in the Lord. And God wants to lead and guide you as much as he did anybody ever in the history of the gospel. He wants you to have the same opportunity to know him, to have the gifts, to be able to express those gifts, to work with those things. The Lord wants all of us to have that same place in there. There isn't a place, really, there's gifts, but there isn't these places where these jet-setting preachers go around making millions and millions of dollars off of poor people, claiming, giving them things that they don't. No, the message is, it's not about your money. It's about your heart. It's about the fact that the Lord wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to be the best that you can be. And he wants, finally, brethren, this doesn't fit the world's way of thinking hardly at all. Finally, brethren, he said, this is the thing. Be strong in the Lord. Wait a minute. Be strong in Paul. Be strong in your minister. Give them confidence. No, not at all. Be strong in the Lord. We want you to be strong in the Lord. I want to be able, when I have a needs, to call the members of our congregation and know fully well that they know the Lord and that they can pray too and that they have a relationship with the Lord. So how do we find a place like that? What does it work? Do you know that the world already knows some of these things, but the world knows that I don't know of an occupation right off the top of my head that you can go into that you know it all. You can be book learned and you can be taught that way, but I know of no occupation that you really know what you're doing until you do it. It's true. I'm a history buff of World War II and the Civil War and all those kind of things. It was well known that the first time they put a unit into battle, they were green and they didn't perform very well. Everybody knows that the veterans, the ones that had been through war and battle, the ones that had enough artillery go off around them that they didn't jump and run anymore and all those kinds, they always know the experience when those that had the experience performed better. You know, that's true in almost everything in life. You can't come out of a mechanic school or any school or any place and know how to do those. You learn it by getting your knuckles skinned. That's how you do it. You learn how to do things by applying yourself in life. And you know it's true. It's still true with the work of the Lord. It's still true living for the Lord. We start off, yeah, the Lord deals with us, we get saved, but then as Christians, then what do we do? You know you have to live this thing. Oh, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Pursue the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's going to take some faith because there's a power in His might that we've got to tap into. We live into a place and into the world. You know what I find of people that really put too much in other people? They get discouraged. And they lose out somewhere along the line. That's the danger of doing this. Humans will discourage you. The best of them will have their moments. And it can be disheartening. That we don't want that. But be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Over in 1 Timothy, sixth verse says, 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put thy brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that is now is and that of which is to come. But refuse profane and wise fables. Refuse all of that foolishness of the world. Can I say today there's a lot of foolishness and talk in the world. There's a lot of, you've heard the term misinformation, no doubt. There's a lot of, it's hard to know. We live in the information age, but all the information ain't good. All the information ain't right. You could go on the internet and find anything. I use it as a mechanic tool all the time. It tells you what bolt to take out and which to do what. It's very handy to do. And it'll also tell you, I mean, you can get on there and find how it's just wonderful and good to eat eggs. And you can see how it's going to kill you too. And you can find out all the variables in between all of those things. And you can say, well, you ought to run this far. And you ought, no, that's too far to run. You shouldn't run that far. And you can do exercise so far, but you, no, that's too much exercise. You can hear it all. There's some good information. There's some bad information out there. There's a lot of old wise fables and those kind of things that put that aside, put that out of your mind. That's not what we ought to be pursuing. What the Bible says here is the pursuit, but exercise godliness, an exercise in godliness. And I know you're going to probably say, a lot of you are going to say, now, preacher, that's why preachers always talk this. But I'm going to say there's value in these things. Exercise. If you want to get strong, everybody knows this. Everybody knows. If you're going to strengthen a part of your body, you don't let it go flabby. You don't, I'll let it rest till it gets strong. It doesn't get strong that way. There was a song that said something about the Lord, don't move the mountain. But give me strength to climb. If you move the mountain, then I'll not get strong. But if you leave the mountain and give me strength, then I'll climb this mountain and then maybe I can climb the next one too. And I can go and I can do that. And so when the preacher starts saying it's a really good idea for you to testify on Wednesday nights or whenever your testimony says it's a good idea to testify. The preachers do that all the time. You know, we're supposed to. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. So we do it. But it's not for no reason. There's a really good reason for it. Exercise yourself in godliness. It really is valuable to you to begin to express what the Lord has done to you. And you may say, I've done that so poorly. I didn't say my words right. I didn't do it right. And if you stop, you never will. Step out. Step out. I don't suppose that everybody's supposed to have a public prayer or be a public prayer. But everybody is supposed to pray. There's probably supposed to be a lot more public prayer. And I'm going to tell you how you learn to do it. You exercise it. Maybe you'll be humbled a few times. Maybe you'll feel kind of embarrassed. Maybe your face will get red and you're saying, I didn't say the words in the right order and I kind of come out clumsy and I want to be spiritual, not clumsy. And so I feel bad about that. I'm going to tell you, there was a time where I was awkward and didn't want anybody to say, Marty, would you offer the blessing over the food? I can remember that. I'm not ashamed to tell that. Most everybody's been like that at some point in their life. And do you know how you learn to do that? You can say to me any place, any time, among any group of people now, Marty, I offer thanks and I'll do it gladly. Because I have done it repetitively over in different places and different places over and over and over. And I know what I'm going to say to the Lord. I don't care who's there. I know what I'm saying to the Lord. I've exercised that in my life. So we're saying tonight, what value, the goal is to be strong in the Lord. It's not just to have a title of something. I'm a church God or no, it's to be strong in the Lord. It isn't to identify with people. It's to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might to have something for yourself in that. Lord, help us to be an army. We need to be strong in the Lord, especially in this day that we have. You don't know what you're going to face and what's going to come on there. We need to exercise our faith in the Lord. After putting yourself out. You know, if you never think about it and you never pray and ask the Lord to help you with anything, you can't build your faith. But when you start saying, Lord, I just lost my wallet. I just lost my keys. Lord, I need help with something here. I got something in my mind. Lord, help my mind. Lord, help me in that. Do you know the Lord is working and is there always? And we miss it because we never exercise ourselves unto faith. If it is true that God loves me the way the Bible says He loves me, I believe it. And if God is there in all of His power and He knows everything and is all powerful, then He knows where my key's at. And He knows what I need in my life. And if He loves me like that, then it's possible that I can entertain the idea that He's going to help me in this area. It isn't God that's lacking. And there's a goal. Be strong in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. The Lord will help us to build our faith. Build our faith. I remember a story Brother Gordon told me. Said he was coming from a meeting one time. Him and his wife coming back from a meeting and they were going home and they was about to run out of gas. And he didn't have enough money to put gas in the car. So he didn't have money to put gas in the car and he didn't have enough gas to get home. So he was in a dilemma. And they're going along and it's getting lower and lower. And he said he really didn't want to run the car out of gas all the way. He didn't want it to stop because it was out of gas. So he finally says to his wife, he said, I'm going to stop here at this one and I'm going to go pray. And so he stopped there and as he said he went to go pray. He said he looked and he seen a place he's going to go pray. And he walked over there and he said there was a $20 bill laying there. And he got that $20 bill and he looked at me so seriously. And he said, Brother Marty, I don't know what you think about that, but I think that was the Lord. I said, Brother Gordon, I think it was too. You don't have to convince me about this. There's a lot of places along the highway. And he said, I don't know how that got there. I wonder if it blowed out of somebody's vehicle or somebody lost life, somebody lost their 20. Brother Gordon, it was the Lord. Gave you $20. And he was in 20, he gave you $20 and gave you a place of faith because you was looking at a place of faith. You was in a need of a place of faith. Lord, help us to build up our most holy faith in the Lord and set the goal. Lord, what is it for every individual? I can't answer it for you. And you know I can't answer it for you because I don't know what your gifts are. I don't know what your potential is. I don't know what it may be. But I'm the preacher that's supposed to stand here. This is the what I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to give you the message that the Lord says, I want you to be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. I want you to tap into that. I want to teach you how to be an adult Christian in this time and in this age. I want you to be the witness to your neighbor. Stop thinking about, well, I'm going to call the preacher. Amen. This is one reason I like to preach this. Because if I'm not feeling inspired, I don't really, you calling me, I'm going to have to try to pray through to get some inspiration to go see your neighbor. No, I want to... I don't want you following no system. I don't want you following me. I want you to follow the Lord and you get inspiration for your neighbor. And you learn how to talk and say that. And it doesn't come, never does it come all at once. I don't know of anyone that just got saved one night and had all of those things and just done it well. No, they started exercising. They started exercising themselves in godliness. And then they didn't have to say, I'll give you my preacher's number. Listen, it's fine to give the preacher's number. But I'm saying there's a place there that the Lord calls each and every one of us for this. So put off the wise fables and all that stuff and exercise yourself in godliness. Because this is really what's profitable. This analogy is supposed to be of the gymnasts that they used to have in the old Olympic games and stuff, and the gymnasts and how they, it was a must. They could not show up on the day that they was going to compete and expect to be able to do their routines if they had never done them. You know how they was able to do the things that they did? They eat the right things. They trained endlessly. They got their body in the ultimate shape. And then they went through the routines that they was going to do. They got strong enough to pull themselves up. They got strong enough to do the swing, the catches. They got strong enough. They got their minds all focused in on what they was doing. And they exercised themselves to that particular goal until they was proficient enough at it to be called a gymnast. That's a gymnast. The analogy here is the idea is to exercise yourself in godliness until you can be called a Christian. Exercise yourself until you're recognized as a Christian. Till you have the words of one. I say, Christian, Christ. Until you have Christ. And you can talk. And you don't have to be timid about praying at the restaurant. If you are, I'm not putting you down at all because I have been many times in my life. But I'm not now. Because I've exercised myself and my mind. I've exercised towards those kind of things. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's still somewhat of a deal to get up. And this is a lot of responsibility and do that. But I've been doing this full time since 95. And a lot of meetings. In a lot of places and all that. And I'm going to tell you, I can get up here easier now than I used to. Yeah. Because I've exercised myself in being able to do it. But it's more than that. In all those years, you may not have seen it that way, but I'm going to give my testimony. In all those years, even if I got up with only nothing, God still filled my mouth with something. And so I could get up because God had never failed to take care of what he wanted to do. And I've relied on that. Lord, there's times that I said, Lord, I don't really know what, this is yours. And the Lord, do it. Because the Lord, and you, The Lord sees that you need these things. And the Lord puts you in these situations and gives you your exercise routine. He'll bring the right thing into your life. But we got to step out in faith and allow the Lord to work in our lives and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. If there's a place for me to pray, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be proactive about this. I'm going to start doing that. Is there anyone willing to be a fool for the Lord? I said that. I said that when I started praising the Lord. I don't know what you're doing with me. I'm the guy that was in the special ed class. I'm the guy that was failing school. I'm not the smart one in my family. What is, the Lord, you're doing. But Lord, I can be a fool for you. I can be a fool. Lord, help us to exercise godliness. That we would be able to be proactive. I'm not talking about arrogant or proud. I'm talking about that we can walk out into this world knowing that we got something in our hearts and lives that we can give to those that are out there, that they need it, and that we can be, I'm assuming there's a lot in here that would be timid. Maybe in some situations I still would be too. But if somebody come up and said, would you pray for me? I want to be saved. Do you have the experience to do it? Do you have the place? Can you get down and do it? Do you know how to do it? That should be a fundamental place in a Christian life. If you've ever done it, you know how to do it. If you ever found the Lord, you know how to find him. And you can give that testimony. And you don't have to be you don't have to have the big flattering words and all of those things. All you have to do is have a true heart and a willingness that I'll do whatever the Lord wants me to do. I would recommend, as the goal I spoke about, to start with, not a goal that we get you under our thumb or nothing like that. A goal that you are mature and grown up in the Lord. I would recommend it to all of you that you testify a testimony. Testify your testimonies. It's a powerful thing. It defeats the devil and it gives you courage. And the more you testify, the easier it'll come. I can tell you this for sure, that because I wasn't one that testified all the time back when I was first saved. And I had told the Lord, Lord, I'll testify. You want me to testify? And this is the way I felt about it. I started doing Sunday school classes, adult Sunday school classes. And I started ministering, and I found a special anointing on it that made it easy. It wasn't easy to get up. It was easy to do. And then I'd stand up to try to testify and feel like I was stumbling all over myself. This wasn't the Lord anointing me for my testimony. It was my heart giving the testimony back. I felt kind of alone sometimes in there and saying, Lord, where's the anointing at? But I told the Lord I'd do it, and I kept doing it, and I still do it to this day. I'll hardly miss an opportunity if I can say something for the Lord. And it's not that it's powerful, that it's awful meaningful. It's that I told the Lord that I was going to say something for him if I got a chance. And I do. I want to talk to the Lord. So to set the goal, Lord, help us to exercise ourselves in godliness, to set an encouragement. Jesus went around doing good. Sometimes when the wife's shopping and doing those things, sometimes I take that opportunity in my heart to just go and put people's carts, shopping carts back for them. Sometimes I just want to say a kind word to them. Sometimes there'll be an old lady hobbling, and I'll get her, ask her if I can take her car, take her groceries for her, take it, put it in her car for her, bless her when they go. Sometimes they'll say something. Sometimes they don't say a lot. Sometimes we'll get into a conversation, and they'll tell me about all the needs that they have. You know how all that goes. And I'll say, well, we'll be praying for you, and all those kind of things. I need it in my own life. I need a contact. I need to have a place. I need to see the power of the Lord. Lord, I want to see what you have for us. Lord, help us. Over in Philippians 3. Very common scripture. The Apostle Paul was a great, if we may say it that way, of a man. He was a great man of God. He had totally surrendered himself to the Lord. And so much so that he took the things that was valuable for him. And he says it here in the third chapter of Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And see the idea that the apostle was saying he had achieved, he had made something, he had done something. He's seen the worthlessness of it. He's seen that it had no value, no real long-lasting value. He wanted something more than that. He wanted to be adult. He wanted to be grown up. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to have those things in Christ. He wanted to do those things. He counted all of that things lost. He got rid of it all. He's proactive about it. I count it all lost. I'm giving all of it up. All the prestige, all of the things. If you want to brag, I can outbrag you. Because I have obtained more than you did. And I've done all these things and it was in a high standard. But they mean nothing to me now. Because I've got a different goal now. I don't have a goal of this world. I don't have a goal of being honored and looked up at. I have one goal. I want to know, I want to be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. I want to see God. I want to see God working. I've heard the expression since I've been saved over the years, off and on at different times. God doesn't do the healings He used to do. You don't see the miracles that you used to do. God hasn't changed. God's still God. God is a master at hiding it from the eyes that don't need to see it or the eyes that won't believe it. But I'm going to tell you, if there's any place like there at all, it's because there's nobody looking. It's because there's not enough looking to see it. There's not enough that's pressing for it. God's still the same, and He still touches, and He still heals, and He still blesses. He's still God. He wants us to pursue that. He wants us to pursue it with a violence, not a fleshly violence. He wants us to fight violently for it. I give it up. I press to this. I fight for this. How is our congregations? How is it we collectively? How are we going to have the power of God in our midst? It's going to be because the individuals have pursued Him and found Him. And they're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's how it is. That's the way. Yeah, we're meant to do this, and the Bible even gives us instructions how we're united together and how there's power in prayer and how we unite together. But I'm going to tell you, it's a rich thing to know that someone that just has been saved and they've come along and you've seen them, and maybe you didn't know about them altogether. Maybe you had some suspicion, oh Lord, help them to make it and all those kind of things. And then you hear their testimony when they stand up and said, last night I was in an awful place and you didn't get the call. They say, I went before the Lord and I prayed until the Lord come down and touched my heart or touched my life or healed my child. And you're sitting there saying, yes, that's what I've been doing. That's what I'm trying to get to. A reality. They have a reality now of something that's going to stick with them. And then when the devil comes along and tries to take it from them, they'll be like the blind man that says, I don't know about all that, but I know that I was blind and now I see. I know the Lord done something for me, and you can't take that away from me, ever. It's an experience of God. And as we go on and mature more and more, God does more and more for our lives than we can stand in those kind of places. I would that everyone in here would be willing to stand for the Lord if they was the only one doing it. I'll be the last one that's still standing, living for the Lord. That is the best security that we could ever have. Paul says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. There you go. That I may know Him. That I have that experience. Well, when I first got saved and come around the saints, Brother Sammons was there at home. Brother Sammons had such a powerful testimony. He had such a powerful prayer. He was a powerful minister. Relied on it. I looked for it. He'd come to the house sometimes and pray, sometimes in our strongest moments. I remember sometimes where Brother Sammons come to the house, and it was gloomy. The devil was taking advantage of us. There was sickness, but it was more than that. The devil was making it dark and gloomy and hopeless. And Brother Sammons would come in and start praying, and he would pray till it was light, and he prayed till the darkness was gone, and hope had come, and faith had filled the room, and the whole thing had changed. And then he would say, "Now let's pray," and he would pray. But I learned something there. I remember saying, when Brother Sammons passed away, he was sick, when he passed away, I remember telling the Lord, "Well, you know, Lord, Brother Sammons ain't gonna need that gift anymore." Kind of like to have some of that. You know, it don't fall on you like that, though. It don't fall on you. You want to do it, you follow the same path. You exercise the godliness like Brother Sammons did. And you can come to that place, too. You come to that place of faith. A lot of the old ministers demonstrated that in their lives. And we've seen their testimonies in their lives of those that have given themselves and exercised it. Do you know that you generally can tell in this life, natural life, who exercises and who don't, by their activities and the things they do? Do you know you can tell spiritually, in a sense, spiritual sense, you can tell who's exercised themselves to the things of the Lord? Because it comes naturally. It comes freely. It's in their lives. You know, such a disconnect, Lord help us. There's such a disconnect from time to time about what we say we believe and what we really believe. We say that God is almighty and he watches over and rules the universe and that he's a God that can do anything. But we don't always really act like that. It's such a disconnect on a lot of things. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be grown up and exercised unto the things of the Lord. Another scripture. I'll go ahead and get some of this, but a couple different stories. One of them was in Matthew, the 14th chapter. I'll say about 22, Matthew 14 and 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?" Well, I want to say that's old Peter. A lot of good stories about old Peter. I'm glad they're there. Peter exercised himself. Yes. Peter was prone for exercising himself, maybe much more than the other ones. He was a little more given to that. You read about Peter and his personality and all, but he was given to it. But I want to tell you something about that. That was not a failure. That was not a... Lord help us to not take the idea that if I'm going to sink or that I'm going to not reach the heights or I'm not going to do anything, then there's no use in trying. No, I'm going to tell you, this episode was with Peter all of his life. And it's been with us all of our lives too. It's a valuable place what Peter did. He exercised himself. He walked on the water. No, he wasn't perfect. But he said, I want to come, Lord. Bid me to come. I want to experience Jesus. Help me to do it. Yes, he learned something valuable. He learned that he can't walk on the water by himself. He can't walk on the water if he's not looking to and concentrating on the Lord. If he doesn't have the Lord in his mind, he won't have victory in his life. He learned something valuable. He grew up more there. He became a better minister of Jesus Christ right there. Do you suppose that he ever in a message used this? I love stories. I'd have told it 100 times. I'd have told it over and over. And I would assume he told it over and over too. And he used the lesson to tell them, this is the way you serve the Lord. If you say, Lord, bid me to come. I want you. I want to do what you're doing. He'll say, come. But know this. And to be successful, you're going to have to keep your eyes on the Lord. I want to set a goal before you tonight of being like the Lord and knowing and being strong in the Lord and the power of his might and having it in your life. Well, set that as a goal in your life. And it isn't to look to the preacher and all that kind of stuff. It's to find where the Lord's working with you in your own life. Learn how to pray. Learn how to testify. Learn to do the things that the Lord wants you to do. Learn how to speak to your neighbor. Learn how to be a witness to others. Have a heart. Lord, if I don't, Lord, give me a heart to help others, to spread out my joy, to spread out my blessings. Lord, let me be like that. You know what you might find out? You might find out in your zeal that you get ahead of yourself and you might be sinking in that water. Lord, save me. Yeah. It's all right. He'll save you. How long did it take him to save Peter? Immediately. It says immediately he reached out and got him and pulled him out. But you know, he exercised himself to a testimony in his life. You don't exercise, you're not going to get stronger. And if you never think about it, if you never meditate on it, if you never give the Lord room in your life, you know what? There's going to be so many valuable stories. There's going to be so many valuable blessings slip by you and you never ever see them. You never can express them to others. And it's because there was no attention paid to it. There was no exercising of the spiritual places in our life. There was no exercising. And there was no place found for what the Lord wanted. There's another place that maybe I'll just say it, but it's in the, you know where it's at. It's in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, where Jesse sends David up to his brothers that was pitched against the Philistines in a battle. And David goes up there to take them some corn and cheese and bread and stuff and greet the captains and all. And he was went and done it faithfully. And he gets up there and Goliath of Gath comes out and makes his proclamation, you know, that I'm the champion, send a champion. Been doing it for 40 days. You send a man down here to fight and all of that. And David looks at this and he exercised himself. He wasn't responsible. He could have left. I'm glad he didn't, because this is a good story. And if I'd have been David and I'd have done that, I'd have told everybody everywhere I went about it. I'd have told the stories of all my ministry. I'd have told about the giant coming down. It was a good story, but it's a true. When David exercised him, the way this happened was David exercised faith in God. He says God is able to take care of this situation, but it wasn't just that. It wasn't a little boy that all of a sudden woke up one day and boom, he was in the place to take on a giant. God knew what his destiny was and God started dealing with David way back. He told where it got to a lion and a bear. But I imagine that it happened with a lamb that needed help. I imagine it happened back when he was a child and he humbly asked the Lord to help him. I imagine, only in my mind, if you'll give me the liberty. He exercised faith in God because a lion and a bear is still pretty notable. They're still bigger than you. He needed something more than that. And he got to a place. Maybe he was one that meditated the stories of his ancestors and how those that had come before him and had the victories, and Gideon and Moses and the Red Sea and Joshua and the great men, and how God had never failed him. Maybe David was simple enough to believe it and put it in his heart and exercise that the God that had delivered them all those times is the God that will deliver me too. And he exercised himself to that point. And there came a lion and a bear to get a lamb from the fold. And he exercised his faith. He didn't run from that position. He exercised faith in God. And God helped him to smite them things. And it was a stepping stone. You may stumble in your testimony.
Yes.
But it's a stepping stone to farther and farther. It's a testimony. You may not pray out and pray the words exactly. You don't think God knows it, and do you don't think the saints know it too? We all know of our own failures and stuff. We're humble people. We know of those things. We encourage everyone to set the goal to know the Lord. Lord, teach me what you'd have me to do. I want to be a blessing to God's people and to the kingdom of God. Help me to be able to fulfill my place. I don't know if you're a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I say shoot for 100. If you come up short, try 60. But the Lord knows what we need in all those places and what we're capable of. And he'll give us what we're capable of. It's not come up short in exercising ourselves in the matters. David exercised himself in these matters, and he gets the lion and the bear. And then when he was talking to the king, he didn't have to be shy to king, giant, or nobody. You notice David, the ruddy youth, wasn't shy to his brothers. He wasn't shy to the king, and he wasn't shy to the giant. Why? Because the battle's the Lord's. I got faith in God. There's a destiny. There's a place for me to exercise myself here in this matter. And now here's the giant. And here's where he falls. By faith in God. These places can be only attained because of God. But he uses us as instruments. So, you know, I've got this vision in my mind. I'm naive maybe, but it's still my vision in there. I think sometimes it's what would it be like? I mean, if everybody just said, I want God to be glorified more than anything else. And when somebody new comes into our midst, I want them to see God. And you know what that really means to my mind, if you'll give me the liberty to say it. I have no proof of it. But to me, one person doing the preaching, praying, singing, all that stuff is not it. The glory of God is shown in a live congregation of people that's showing their gifts, that's saying the thing, that's that. I'll just say this. I admired him for it. Because maybe I failed in it. I don't know. But I'm not a singer. But I let that keep me from really singing too. And I know people that I know I could sing as good as they did. That would stand up and sing. I mean, they started off from the start. They got saved and they started off, I love Jesus and I'm going to sing. And they croaked. I'm just saying that. It was a blessing, but it wasn't in tune. It wasn't sound. I mean, it wasn't pleasing to the ears. And you know what happened? I wouldn't embarrass them by telling it. But you know what happened? They learned to sing. They learned to sing. They started singing and they started hitting it. And after a few years, they was singing with their heart. And God blessed them. And then all of a sudden I said, you know, they sound really good. They're a blessing. They were a blessing before. It ain't about that. You know what I'm saying? But the idea is that we want it to sound good. It's drawing. God gave us the ability to do it. It's drawing. It's winning. God can be glorified. That's what we want. We want God to be glorified. That if we all had this notion, Lord, make of me what you would have me to be. I am willing to exercise my faith, my I'm willing to exercise myself. Sometimes it means that I get out of my box. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes it's not comfortable. But I will exercise myself unto the glory of God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.